Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Alistair Weaver for the CarCast Edmonds podcast. Oh, it's kind of an interesting week of car news. There's
a lot going on this week.
It seems slow for a while, then all of a sudden it's just kind of popping this past week or so. One of the things I wanted to get into was the Hyundai Ioniq 5N, and we've brought this up several times. This was something that we saw at the LA Auto Show, and it was really kind of one of the cars for us both that we thought would be one of the most exciting to drive, get an opportunity to kind of get behind the wheel of this thing and see how it goes. Really kind of utilizing the EV platform for performance. I know everyone's going after range and whatnot, but putting it in a performance package, which you only normally see really from the supercar companies, right? Using you know, from Acura NSX and McLaren and the high-end cars like P1 and LaFerrari, but putting it into a car that's much more affordable. I just thought it was kind of a fun idea to see what they can do with it. I you know, Porsche's doing it, but
it's, you know, we should start at the beginning, actually, because I think the N brand is really interesting. We've seen like Elantra N, things like that, but Hyundai, the whole Hyundai and Kia car company and Genesis have been really good at hiring top people, designers, engineers, and then empowering them to get on with the job. And this N division is basically, if you think of Hyundai N, this is not just badge engineering. This is like a serious play to have a performance brand. So you've got to think of it like Ford Performance, like BMW M-Power, and that's really not stretching it. That is kind of where they are. And they hired a really senior figure from BMW M-Power who recently retired, but they also, there was a guy called Tyrone Johnson who I worked with I shot a documentary years ago on the development of Focus RS, and he was one of the leading lights at Ford Performance in Europe working out of Cologne. And then Hyundai poached him, and he's now managing director in Europe, but he's a senior figure of their engineering teams and working with the N division in Europe, and he's had a hand in this car. So what they've done is basically pulled together some really, really important global talent and then empower them to get on with it. Of course, Hyundai's, Matt's showing it here, Hyundai's also got its rally cars, it's got some racing commitments, they're going to be racing the Ioniq 5N. So they are properly serious about building a performance brand.
Yeah.
And at the not to confuse matters, but at the recent New York Auto Show, we've also seen that Genesis is also going down this road using probably a lot of the same technology. But you've got to think of this N as being a serious performance play. And I think that's really exciting. And the Ioniq 5N was probably the first one that we've seen where they've, you know, where they've really gone to town. And it's deeply impressive how much time and energy and attention they put into this car. And we had it at the test track on Monday, and I shot a video about it, which is going to be coming out in the next week or two, but I'm happy to talk about it here and the numbers and everything else, because it was really impressive and a really cool car.
Yeah, let's get into it a little bit. I guess, where do you want to start? How was it driving it? Well, what's powering it? Give us some of the specs on it, and then we can get into the driving impression of it.
Right. So to start with, so this is an Ioniq 5, which they call an SUV, but isn't really an SUV. If you look at the proportions, It's basically a hatchback, and they call it an SUV because the marketing people say nobody buys. What website is this? That's not Edmunds. What?
I don't know what I was.
I don't even know what that is. So where was I? Yes, Ioniq 5. So nobody buys hatchbacks anymore, so they always call it an SUV, but really it's a hatchback. And it's basically like, if you look at a Mark 1 Golf, the Italian design one from the 1970s on sale in the 80s, it's basically like that, a Volkswagen Golf. You look at it, there's a lot of similarities. But it's scaled up, so it's quite a big car. But you take the Ioniq 5, and then basically they've given it the whole treatment. So it's exactly the same principle as taking a BMW 3 Series and turning it into an M3. And it's that level of detail. It's really, I'm going to have to grab my iPad here because there's like, so it's crazy how much they've done to this car. Even down to strengthening the body itself, you've got more wells, you've got more adhesives. So they stiffened the basic structure of the car. It's 2 inches wider. You've now got 21-inch wheels. You've got larger brakes. You've got the regen effect is up to 0.6G, which I think is arguably the strongest that we've had. They've got an electronic limited slip differential. They've changed the suspension. They've changed the steering rack. They've even got new drive axles with integrated wheel bearings, getting a bit nerdy now. Improved thermal management. You've got lots more aero, including a pretty aggressive rear diffuser. Inside, you've got new seats, pretty obviously. They've got new pedals, you've got new steering wheels, you've got all these extra buttons. And, you know, at the heart of it, you've got 601 horsepower, which goes to 641 horsepower for 10 seconds with what they slightly naffly call the N-Grin boost, which is a button behind the steering wheel, a bit like Porsche has with the Taycan Turbo GT.
Yeah.
You push the button and it gives you an extra 10 seconds of Uber boost. So this is like this is a really proper job, and I can't stress that enough. And it really feels like it as well. And then when you get inside, you've got this whole range of modes. And it's a bit Gran Turismo, but...
yeah, it's kind of like Gen 1 GTR, right? It's just...
yeah, but then some. I spent the weekend with it, and it was... I had it for the weekend. They were driving it on the road, you know, trying to do normal stuff with it. And then I took it to the track. And it's so complicated the way that the menus work that you're like, and because some functions only work if you've got other functions on or off. And there's like several different dashboards. You've got like retro instruments or sporty instruments, or you can have this or motor temperature, all sorts of things going on. And at times I was like, how can I remember how I got back to where I started? So it's a super complicated car, which can be a bit irritating if you're not used to it, but it's also kind of fun. There's a lot to play with. And I could go through like some of the basics. You've got N pedal, which kind of gives you more regenerative braking. They actually use the regenerative braking when you lift off the throttle to adjust the weight of the car. So as you lift off the throttle, you get this heavy regen, the weight shifts, and that helps tuck the car into the corner. You've got drift optimizing modes. You've got torque split, so you can basically move the torque. So if you move up the torque all the way to the rear, you've got a rear-wheel drive car. Admittedly, so basically what they effectively do is decouple the front motor. So you're just using the rear motor, which gives you a really effective drift mode. And as you'll see in the video that we produced, it goes very, very sideways very easily. You've got, you can adjust the end torque this, but you can adjust the torque front to rear through 11 different settings. You've got launch control, but you've not just got like normal launch control. You can go into a menu and say, well, actually the surface is kind of dry, perfect tarmac, or the surface is a bit loose. So you can set up the launch control according to the surface. You've got N race, which allows you to like manage battery temperatures, or N drag, and you know, it tells you where the optimum battery temperatures are. And then you can precondition the battery, but then you've also got this, I'm going on a bit here, Matt, forgive me, but you've got you've got this really bizarre thing called N E-Shift, which basically simulates an 8-speed flappy paddle gearbox.
Okay.
So you've got paddle behind the steering wheel, and then so you can combine that with what's it called? N Active Sound Plus, which gives you three different sounds, one of which is basically simulates a 2-liter turbo 4 from their range. one of which is a bit stupid and sounds futuristic. One of it sounds like a fighter jet, sounds really stupid. So let's stick to the 2-liter Forza noise. So you got the noise of a gas car with an 8-speed flappy paddle gearbox, which sounds ridiculous, apart from it works really, really well. And it's like almost unfathomably well. Even down to when you do, they've got speakers around the car. So when you like lift off the throttle, if you're really on it and you lift off the throttle, it simulates like a pop and fart through the exhaust. And it comes okay. from like over your shoulder. And then when you change gear, if you're really on it and you change gear, it basically does like, it simulates like a torque cut. So you know, like in a normal flappy paddle, if you've got it in like a super sport mode and you flick the paddle and then you get that little head jolt.
Yeah.
It simulates that. So it cuts the torque. It does something really clever. It basically cuts torque. So you get that little dum dum, like you're doing a, I mean, almost like a single clutch gearbox, but it's so much fun. And it's like, it's totally fake.
So but, yeah, the whole thing is a simulation. It's just to
yeah
enhance the driving experience, but it's really not doing anything. There's no gear changes. There's nothing really happening.
Well, it's, there are gear changes that, well, there's nothing like mechanical happening. There's only one gear, but the level of sophistication is such that it's like, if I could take you, if I hadn't told you any of this and you didn't know what my 9.5 was and I took you out, there's a pretty good job that there's a good chance that you'd go, ah, this is like a 2-liter turbo. Because even down to, if you put it in, so it revs to, they've set the rev line, red line, which is obviously fake. I mean, you get like a proper rev counter in the dashboard. I think it's like 7,200. So they've taken every parameter of a normal gas engine and applied it. So, and when you hit the rev limiter, it goes and all the lights flash and then you have to change up, yeah, which is yeah. nuts. And then, it's like, and you get that little jolt in your head because you've hit the rev limiter and it's going and you have to pull another gear. And then if you choose two higher gears, let's say you start cruising and you put it into like fifth or something at low speed, it starts to lug. So it's managing the torque and everything else to make it feel like you've just, you know, selected fourth when you wanted second. And now the engine's like going to get you going.
Yeah.
And it sounds mad, but it works unbelievably well. And I get it on the track and it's just so much fun because you can barrel into a corner, you know, and off you go. And we were talking last night about it. You know, there's talk, you could easily do over the air updates with, and maybe it's a good one for people to kind of like, you know, put it on Instagram or what it should be. But I was saying, could you do like a BMW, you know, Formula One V10 from a few years ago and Ferrari V12s and all sorts of things. You could pretty much put any noise that you want into the car. And it's, I just thought it was an absolute hoot. The level of attention to detail is crazy.
So talking about driving it specifically. So all of the enhancements, the bigger brakes, the beefing up the chassis of the car and everything has to add a little bit of weight, and all of this performance has to dig into range a little bit, but that's not necessarily why you're buying this type of car.
Yeah. And the weight, hang on, I've got it on my phone. It's about 4,900. I have a picture of the scales on my phone, and I think it was just under it's 4,855 on our scales. So 4,855 pounds, which obviously is a lot compared to something like a Honda Civic Type R, but is, you know, in electric car terms, about par for the course.
Now, they didn't put a bigger battery in this. This is the same battery.
So they've played around with the battery technology, which in theory gives you more. It's supposed to give you a little bit more range. We did the Edmunds EV range test yesterday. So this is really hot off the press, and it did 253 miles, because if you're not really using the performance, it's not a massive handicap. So I think it's down on a normal Ioniq 5, but you know, 255 miles is okay. I think with this car, you're going to accept that you're going to make some compromise on range, but it's not silly. It's not like 150 miles, so it just becomes an irritation. That's kind of, you could absolutely use this car. And I think one of the things that's really clever about it, the way they've done the suspension and everything, is you can just stick it into like normal electric car mode.
Yeah.
There's like an eco mode. And then basically what you've got is a slightly stiffer, but by no means uncomfortable version of an Ioniq 5. And, you know, I took the kids to school and it's big. It's still an Ioniq 5, so it's loads of room, massive trunk.
Does it feel like you're driving like a GR Corolla, or is it still just very different?
No, it does. It does. I mean, a GR Corolla has got that, obviously, like a stick shift, and so you've still got the clutch and thing, which you haven't got. So it feels more like a...
But it's small, and it feels fun.
Yeah, like
town.
A Golf R.
It's really kind of zippy around town. It kind of makes you want to drive like a jerk, because it's fun, and, you know, but that's kind of the fun factor for a car.
Yeah,
it absolutely
does, from that perspective. It feels like, I was trying to think what's the best analogy, something like a Golf R, where you've got flappy paddle gearbox, but yeah, exactly. Super agile, yeah. Turns in very sharply. You know, it is a big car, but it doesn't feel like that big. And just, you know, its ability to do the Jekyll and Hyde thing. And I was saying, like, if you take the kids to school and it's in quite electric mode, of course, my kids wanted all the noise and the because they're good kids. I was going to talk about the problems, but do you want the figures? Because we took it down the test track. I can tell you how fast this thing is.
Yeah. I listen, I'm expecting it to scoot around pretty good.
Give me your best. So we got 641 horsepower. Let's see, 641 horsepower, 4,800 and something pounds. What's your estimate then, Matt?
I haven't looked this up. I think it has to get 0 to 60 around the 3.332 mark. I just think, I think it'll scoot around pretty good.
So, and what's your quarter?
That's a little bit tougher to do. It's gonna be 12.4.
Okay, so the reason I asked you the quarter, because you were bang on for the 60. So without rollout, because we don't do rollout, this is with 3.3.
Okay.
Which is really fast.
Really
fast.
But
the quarter was 11.2.
Yeah, I wasn't doing the math in my head on how fast 0 to 60 quarter, because with these cars, who knows what the top end is, but that's incredibly fast.
It's incredibly fast. I'm going to give you some context now, because this is... just to give you an idea of like where that sits, because we have a sort of master spreadsheet of all the cars that we've tested.
I'm curious, because they put it on the track, and do they still limit it at something like 120 miles an hour, or does it really go like 150 miles an hour?
No, I think it's like 160 or something. Yeah, I don't think a lot of that's tires as well. And I think so. I think
certain settings. Maybe it has to be in certain, like a track setting or something.
So I'm going to give you, like, I'm just looking at my master spreadsheet here. It is basically, I think the 911 GT3 is the same to 60 and is 1/10 quicker to the quarter mile. And the Corvette Z06, exactly the same. So they're only 1/10 quicker to the quarter. And it's pretty much, and I think the Lamborghini Urus was actually slightly slower to the quarter than the Ioniq 5N. So it's that fast.
Yeah. And then where does this come in on the price?
Well, what are the concerns? I mean, it's 70 grand. So, like, we were agonizing over this. So it depends which way you look at it. It's like you've got GT3 and stuff straightforward, but also a lot more cornering ability than on something else. So on one level, it's like quite good value. On another hand, it's 25 grand more than a Honda Civic Type R, which is a smaller car and obviously a lot less capable in many ways.
Yeah.
So it depends how you see it. My concern is still that, like, the whole point of a, and I say this at the conclusion of the video, the whole point of a sport compact car or a hot hatchback, however you want to describe it, is that they basically provide sports car performance at a fraction of, with real world practicality, sports car performance at a fraction of the price. This thing does real world practicality, sports car performance, but it's a pretty big fraction of the price. And let's face it, 70 grand is not within reach of a lot of people. 70 grand is still a very expensive purchase. And a lot of EVs are expensive. relative to sort of mainstream Ioniq 5s, it looks decent, reasonable value because you get so much more, but it's still a lot of money. It just is.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're comparing this to what else is out there, we have to look at the new Tesla Model 3 Performance.
Yeah, and this thing came out, like, I shot the video on Monday, and then Tesla dropped this on Tuesday, so I've now got to put some voiceover into the video, so that was kind of them.
So there's upgrades to the Model 3, and then and then there's the Performance.
Yeah, I mean, this is a case in point, so where the Hyundai sits. So the Ioniq 5 is a Model Y rival, because it's that size. So it's bigger, much bigger than a Model 3, and a lot more space, because it has that kind of sort of SUV, sort of hatchbacky body, not a sedan. And it still looks a lot more sophisticated and more powerful than the Model 3 Performance. But the Model 3 Performance, which I think they're quoting just over 500 horsepower, they're claiming like 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds. Tesla always claims it with rollout. So if that's true, it's probably more like 3.2, 3.3, according to how we measure. But it looks like it's a 15 grand less than the Hyundai, but it's a much smaller vehicle. So, but then it also is claiming to have more range. So again, it's like nothing's cheap at the moment. And this is the problem generally with EVs and generally with cars as well. But it was kind of interesting to see this come out. And also what's interesting, I think when we've looked at previous gen Model 3, Model Y Performance, and some of the other, you know, even the Mustang Mach-E GT is not really focused on cars. A lot of these things have been dragsters. Kia EV6 GT, it's not really a performance car. It's a really, really fast EV.
Yeah.
And I think the Ioniq 5N tries to turn that on its head and say, actually, this is a really complete performance car. And it's interesting looking at what Tesla's up to with this. There's a lot more focus on suspension tuning, track modes. There's just a lot more going into the car, you know, uprated brakes, et cetera, et cetera. So I think everybody's now getting into the game and saying, look, just doing 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds isn't enough. We need a proper package. It's got chunky seats, which, you know, the old Model 3 Performance was basically just a really fast version with a really kind of dodgy ride version of the standard car. This looks like something quite different. A couple of influencers have driven it. We haven't driven it yet. Tesla always does this. They give it to a couple of friendly influencers, then eventually we get hold of one.
Yeah, so it's a little too early to say which one you would end up recommending. I mean, the Tesla, you know, being a little quicker and being a little less expensive. And
I don't think the Tesla will be quicker. I don't think by the time you put it on the track and by the time you do rollout anything else, I think they're going to might be similar in a straight line, but the Ioniq 5 is a lot more practical. And obviously the Tesla hasn't got the trick paddle modes and it hasn't got a lot of the depth of the Ioniq 5, at least from what we've seen so far. It doesn't do all this kind of emulation stuff. And so, you know, the Model Y Performance is the real rival to the Ioniq 5N. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Get it on a lease, get a decent deal.
Ford just made an announcement for some upgrades for the Mustang Mach-E and the GT Performance. Again, I haven't spent much time in the GT Performance version, but maybe that falls into the category of more like fast EV like Tesla and a little less track vehicle like Ioniq 5N. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see these three together.
And then the other one is the Mach-E Rally, which they're going to bring out, which is also going to be sort of 70 grand range, which looks kind of cool.
Yeah,
they might even be I think it's getting more interesting. It's not just, I think everybody's got, 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. It's like, all right, we all do that now. So how do we make this more interesting?
The Mach-E Rally, that debuted last year, I think, toward the end of last year or something. And they said, this is now the fastest Mach-E. And it's, you know, the GT Performance is like 0 to 60 in 3.5. I think they said this is 3.4 or something. And now the new version of the GT Performance are going, now this is going to be the fastest. Now we're at 3.2 or 3.3. So they're chipping off, you know, a tenth each time. But yes, at some point it would be interesting to see a comparison. See you guys do a video against, you know, the quickest of the Mach-Es versus the new Tesla Performance, you know, the Model 3 Performance and the Ioniq N. And I know in your head, you're like, yeah, that sounds like a fun day.
That sounds like a good day at Willow, or maybe given they're all EVs, a good morning at Willow till we have to go and find a fast charger.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the other thing that's like there's a couple of things at play here. One is they're just getting better and better at battery management. We had the guys from Audi in yesterday. They've just updated the Q4 e-tron, and that's got a lot more advanced technology for charging, for range and everything else. So this is moving really fast. The other part of it is just everybody's having to wrap their head around trying to make a 5,000 pound small car handle.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's this in the Ioniq 5N, it's you still feel that there's a lot of innate physics that you're having to overcome. The brakes are probably the weak point of the car. That they've got a nice firm pedal, but then it stops okay on paper, but it's hard to modulate the performance, which I didn't enjoy much. The steering's a little bit lacking in feel, and you're still in certain moments, like when you're right on the limit or beyond the limit, you still feel all that mass and inertia. And I had a big sideways moment at the track. I think it was just suddenly the EDIF kicked in at the back and it was like, whoa, didn't expect that. And there's just a few little vices within it where you're just conscious that it's a lot of performance and a lot of mass and a lot of inertia. And if things start to move on you, it's like it moves pretty fast.
I mean, if you're not Porsche and your customer isn't spending $200,000, it's tough to get to that benchmark, right? Like, you know, like we were saying before, the Taycan, the new version, it's as good as you can get as a high performance electric sedan, given its weight and the limitations, like you're talking about braking. But Porsche can be at the top of the ladder because, you know, it's a $200,000 car and they're Porsche and they've got the engineering and the time to, the history in creating a car like that. This is, I'll tell you, the Ioniq 5N seems like a very impressive first at bat for.
Yeah, I think it's like, yeah, and I think that's almost like damning with faint praise. I think it's better than that, actually. I think it's a, and partly because it's their first crack at it as Hyundai, but it's not the team's first crack at doing a performance car. And I think you can really tell there's a lot of know-how behind it. I mean, I was thinking like, this is a great family car for me. This, you know, this would be a really nice family car. The problem, if it, you know, but then it's like 70 grand and, you know, I wonder what the lease deal looks like.
Well, to get I mean, down and... you have a GV60, right?
Yeah.
And that's a similar platform. You got the nicer, more compliant suspension. You probably got the fun little end button on the steering wheel, whatever. I think the GV60 had a little.
No, that's the performance version. I couldn't afford that. I didn't get that. I didn't get the fast one.
Okay. Well, that's on you, buddy. Sorry.
Well, yeah.
That's fun. Because you hit it, it's fun because you don't have to put it into different modes and scroll through a menu and search. You could just hit it whenever you want and it made it kind of fun. So
yeah, it's like a pass to push.
Yeah,
which is what the Ioniq 5N is and which the Taycan has as well. But the Taycan, admittedly, when you push it, you go from like, what is it? 1,000 to 1,100 horsepower. It's like, oh, good. I've got an extra 100 horsepower and I already had 1,000.
Yeah. Anyway, it seems like a fun car.
It was not a terrible day out of the office. That's for sure.
All right. Hold on one second. We'll be right back. And I want to get into something else.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
Raise a spoon to Grandma, who always took all the hungry cousins to McDonald's for McNuggets and the play slide. Have something sweet in her honor. come to McDonald's and treat yourself to the Grandma McFlurry today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Okay, here we go. Toyota Camry. This is an important car for Toyota. The Camry, I don't know, it still sells hundreds of thousands of units. It seems like so many car manufacturers want to go after the Camry. It's in a world of expensive cars, I feel like the Camry has a pretty wide range. Maybe it starts at under $30,000. Maybe it starts at about $28,000 or so. And there's been some updates to it in 2025.
They have. And it's, you know, we spend a lot of time on this show talking about like interesting new technology and performance and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, understandably so, we know that's what people like listening to. But I went and did the first, I have a first glimpse of this, I think around the LA Auto Show last November. And then now we've driven it for the first time. And you kind of forget what like a staple of American life the Camry is. And they sold 300,000 of them last year. And it's just, you know, in a world where we're saying, oh, well, hang on a minute, this Ioniq 5 and 70 grand or something. It's just a lot of car for not, in comparative terms, a lot of money. And, you know, if to get one with a sort of like, you know, middling spec, probably where you want to be, you're probably going to be paying, you know, somewhere around 35 grand. But that gets you a really nice, big, comfortable sedan with tons of space for the family, with good technology, CarPlay and all the rest of it now, with a hybrid powertrain. So it's going to be pretty economical.
They're all hybrid now. It's just, they're all hybrid. Option. Yeah.
Much nicer interior. You know, rework front end, but the interiors where they've made the big, jump. And we were just kind of really impressed with it. It's just a nice way to travel at a price, which is, you know, just so much more affordable. And, you know, we've all been looking at Toyota and Honda as well. I say, oh, where's your EVs? Where's your, you know, what, have you got this right? Are you behind the curve? And you kind of look at the camera and think, this just works, you know. It just, for a lot of people across the US, it just still makes a huge amount of sense to get a big, comfortable hybrid sedan that will, by reputation, most likely be reliable, will probably last a long, you know, will be cheapish to run. And, you know, it's a good thing.
You know, I had an opportunity to drive it as well. I didn't drive one of the fully loaded versions. I got into the more, you know, more economical, more practical version. I think it was, you know, the base like SE model, but still comfortable. A little bit of road noise, but not an uncomfortable amount. I think in the higher trim models, I think it's a little bit quieter. I think they probably changed the glass or something, and they try to quiet it up a little bit. But the suspension was great. And, you know, my commute around town, you know, just looking at the miles per gallon, you know, on the gauge in front of me was in the 40s, 40, 41 miles per gallon. Like, and then.
A big family car, right? Not for like a little.
Yeah.
You know, not for a little hatchback.
Now it's by no means a racing car. I mean, it's not the quickest thing out there. And if you want to jump off the line, you're definitely going to have to put that accelerator down.
Yeah.
It has to kick in, you know, the gas engine and the electric motors and everything. It just like, it needs to use every bit of its whatever, 225 horsepower or so, or, you know, or 230. I think the all wheel drive version, I think, is the difference is,
Yeah, and the all-wheel, and that's the other thing is like, you know, the $1,500 gets you all-wheel drive now. So if you're out in the snowbelt and things like that, then that's a sensible, and given how much rain we've had in California this year, it's probably a sensible option here as well. So,
but you know, now there's competition because everyone's going after Camry. So you know, Hyundai has what, like a Sonata, and there's others out there. This is brand new, the 25 Camry, but at some point, we're going to have to see from you guys sort of a comparison like now, because you guys have the data, you can do it all on paper, but at some point you're going to probably create some sort
we
of...
We are actually have one in the works, yeah, which we made. We're not wishing to give away the top secrets, but it would be not terribly surprising if we were working on something with... Because Sonata's been updated, and that has, like, that new sort of, you know, quite striking front end that Hyundai's going with.
Yeah.
So you've got kind of Sonata versus Camry versus Accord. And, you know, Accord's a nice car as well. It just I took one home the other week, and, you know, there's a nice hybrid version of that as well, and... You know, the days when you kind of said, oh, I like hybrid, actually, you know, the technology's got so good now, it just means you're not paying a bit less at the pump. So, yeah, I think it's very easy. Like, we get so obsessed with all the new tech, and, you know, these cars are proper staples, and there's a reason why 300,000 people buy them every year.
It seems like we're getting a little bit better, especially with companies that have been doing hybrids for a long time, getting a little bit better about the seamless integration between the gas engine and the hybrid system, like stopping at a stoplight and then getting the car moving on EV and having the gas engine kick in without it jolting and shaking and sort of torquing, you know, the frame of the car, that, you know, the chassis of the car, and going, oh, I just felt like the gas, like you could feel it kick in. It's getting better. It's just getting more seamless and a little bit easier to do. You know, you don't really notice if you're in EV range or not, if you're in EV mode or not, unless it pops up the, you know, the green light on the dash saying you're in EV mode.
Yeah, and I think the way the market is going, almost everything, you know, particularly a lot of this is spurred from Europe and the legislation there, that, I mean, less so things like the Camry, but even over here, it's everything's going hybrid, you know, as a stepping stone to electrification. You know, 911 is going to go at least mild hybrid. There might be a bigger hybrid version of it as well. So everything's heading in that direction, which just means all the investment money and all the know-how is going into that technology. So it's just going to get better and better. And we'll have more plug-in hybrid, we'll have normal hybrid. And so Toyota's just come out of the Camry and said, right, it's hybrid. Don't think of it. It's almost like, don't think of it as a hybrid. Just think of it as a Camry, and it happens to have a hybrid powertrain because that's the most efficient, best way of doing it. Yeah. And probably from them as well, the scale that they're building them at, it probably just makes sense not to have, you know, lots of different options, build the hybrid, get the scale, economies of scale, job done.
You know, there's still some confusion I find from people, and this is understandable, but somebody asked me, oh, well, how much range does it get in EV mode? I go, well, it's not a plug-in hybrid. You don't have to choose that. You just drive it like a normal car. And they go, well, I don't understand. It's an EV. And I go, well, yeah, in a sense, it says EV on the dash, and there is a button, you know, you can drive it in EV mode. They're like, well, what's the range? I go, well, you just drive it. So think of it more as a car that gets 42 miles per gallon, yeah. You know.
Well, the range is probably like 500 miles.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, yeah. When I got into it, it was topped off, and you know, you're right. It was 400 and something plus miles of total range of the vehicle. I go, you don't have to fuss with it. You know, like, you know, and I still see that there's still some confusion going, you know, we'll plug-in hybrids, because we see plug-in hybrids coming out, and we see, you know, like from Volvo and eventually Range Rover and other companies, and they're going, oh, you can get 32 miles or you can get 40 miles of EV range. And they go, yeah, because you're plugging it in. This you don't have to plug in. And
yeah, and some of them will give you like a little bit because it's, you know, it has enough battery to just kind of store a bit of energy. So it will have like a little bit of E-mode, but it's really negligible stuff. And honestly, at the moment, like the plug-in hybrids are, you know, we've got a Mazda CX-90 on the fleet. We've got a Jeep plug-in hybrid on the fleet, and none of them are that great, actually. You know, I much prefer, because they work if you're going to like live in an urban center, do the classic commute 15 miles a day and just plug them in at home at night. Then they have a use case. Honestly, for me, like a kind of more traditional hybrid probably makes more sense for most people, because, you know, you don't have to have the charging infrastructure at home, but it just gives you better fuel economy, you know, without much of a price premium now, if anything, certainly not in the case of the Camry. So it just makes it's a better all round proposition.
Yeah. I agree. And overall, I was impressed with the car. Again, I mean, doing what we do, we get the opportunity to drive a lot of different cars. And, you know, we often get handed the high performance version of those vehicles. I mean, I swapped out the Camry for the GR Corolla, and that's a fun little car to zip around town. But as I was driving the Camry, I was impressed overall. I was like, I get it. I get why this is just a good everyday car to drive.
I've got a 9-hour drive ahead of me. I'm heading out to Sedona from LA this afternoon, and I'm actually taking the new Ford Ranger. Maybe we could talk about it next week. And that'll be a, you know, I had a pick of things to take, but I was going out to Sedona, might do a bit of off-roading, so I took the truck. But like the Camry for that journey would be a nice thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, super quiet, comfortable space. So I absolutely get it. And, you know, we can talk all we like about fancy this and that, fancy that, but I like good, honest cars, and the Camry is certainly that.
I 100% agree. Totally agree. All right. I think we're going to wrap things up where there's more. We're going to have to save it till next week.
Macan EV next week. We haven't talked about that. Maybe we can hold that. We can do a tease. We can do a tease. Macan EV tease.
Macan EV. And then I'm sure, I'll grab Goldberg and we'll talk about the RHO, the Ram, the new Ram high performance.
What does RHO stand for? I know
Ram
I
high
this.
Output.
Ram high output. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah, it's got the Hurricane i6 and it's 540 horsepower and
Ram high-ish output, but high-ish, not quite TRX.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's not meant to be a TRX replacement, but it is meant to be a Raptor competitor, not a Raptor R, but of course just a Raptor competitor. Yeah. And it looks interesting, but I want to dig into it a little bit more. It was just announced basically as we're recording this, like a few minutes ago.
So Goldberg will be lamenting the mere fact that it's got 500 horsepower and not 800.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of his, he turned the wick up to about 900 in his. So we'll see if it goes. But all right, guys, thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you guys next week. Until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.
Raise a spoon to Grandma, who always took all the hungry cousins to McDonald's for McNuggets and the play slide. Have something sweet in her honor. Come to McDonald's and treat yourself to the Grandma McFlurry today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.